From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruriak. Gavin Newsom is now officially California's 40th governor, and so the watch begins. How, in fact, will he follow through on promises that he made during the campaign and yesterday in the inaugural speech? Advocates for early childhood development, for housing and homelessness policy, and the LGBTQ community are joining me because these are three arenas that are getting focus from the new governor, arenas that he has promised will get some attention. Samantha Tran is Senior Managing Director for Education Policy with the organization Children Now. She's been with us before. Hi, Samantha.
Hi.
Glad to have you back.
Yeah, thanks so much.
David Heitzeman is Executive Director of the Sacramento LGBT Community Center. I'm glad to have David in the studio. Welcome.
Thank you very much. It's good to be back.
And joining us by phone is Kathy Creswell, Board President of the Sacramento Housing Alliance. Hi, Kathy. Glad to have you in the conversation, too.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
What was so compelling is that this is a governor coming into this job as a married father of four, and his little two, almost three-year-old son, Dutch, kind of stole the show yesterday, but emphasized the point that this is going to be an administration with children on the mind. Samantha, how did the whole speech play for you and that interaction so vividly of his family?
Yeah, it was excellent. The fact that kids were at the forefront at every turn, it was pretty clear that this governor, I mean, on the campaign trail and clearly in the speech, was lifting up children and a focus on this next generation. I mean, we're really hopeful that he's going to be a kids governor. And that whole interaction with Dutch was fabulous because, you know, he picked him up, swept him up on his hip, snuggled him, and then, you know, just didn't miss a beat and kept the speech going. And as any working mom and now a working father who's in a position of power, to be able to pull that off and do it so seamlessly, it shows that kind of visceral connection with kids.
You just used the phrase a kid's governor. What does that mean to you?
Well, you know, it's a lot of different things because children are whole human beings, right? We often in government approach it in silos, right? We think about public education. We think about early childhood education. We think about health. We think about, you know, foster care. And we approach these things in very simplistic, often in very simplistic ways. But to do this right, we actually have to take on the issues around children in a holistic way. And so we've heard this governor talk about things like developmental screenings and investing in childcare and providing preschool for all and, you know, really stepping up as children are transitioning into college. And so there are lots of opportunities to really be a children's governor. And I think we're seeing that in Newsom.
Kathy, how does that overlap into the issues of housing and homelessness? These are not silo social issues, to be sure.
No, absolutely not. And from a housing perspective, if we have a kids governor, that means he's also going to be interested about where children start from. And it is critical if we care about the well-being of our next generation that they have a safe and secure and affordable place to call home from the beginning. Their education and health outcomes are all improved when they have a safe, accessible and affordable place to call home. So we are really excited about this new governor who, starting out from the gate, has talked about establishing a Marshall Plan for affordable housing. And what that conveys is the notion that we have to comprehensively address all aspects of affordable housing if we're going to really make a dent. And we are so excited about the opportunity to begin working on that plan with him. And really, for the first time in a really long time, having the state, both now the legislature and somebody in the governor's office who appreciate and recognize how important affordable housing is to the well-being of our people and our communities and our economy and our environment is really an exciting moment.
David Heitzman is here, and for you, this is a governor who started the national debate and focus on the rights of people who fall into LGBTQ or a variety of gender descriptions and life experiences. So when Kathy just used the word comprehensive, she's expecting everything to be taken on and looked at. How do you view issues related to the people you work with? Is it is it comprehensive yet?
I mean, I think that we say it certainly could be, and there's certainly plenty of opportunities. I mean, kids and youth are leading the conversation in California about what an inclusive and equitable future looks like for society. And I think that we would be wise to listen to them and to understand what they need. And that's nowhere more true than for LGBTQ youth.
So let me go directly to the speech, and let's listen to a few of the clips, and we can all weigh in on what was said. When we talk specifically about the achievement gap and kids and early education, here's what he said yesterday in his inaugural address.
An achievement gap in our schools and a readiness gap that holds back millions of our kids. And too many children know the ache of chronic hunger. I have met families in this state who have to improvise where to tuck their babies in at night, making nests out of blankets on the floor or turning dresser drawers into makeshift cradles because they cannot afford a crib. These aren't merely policy problems. They are moral imperatives.
So to you, Kathy, with the Sacramento Housing Alliance, he was speaking your language directly, wasn't he?
Oh, absolutely. Especially talking about the moral imperative when it comes to homelessness. How he talked about that we should not be the crisis that we're facing in homelessness should keep all of us up at night. And having a governor who is willing to address the human tragedy that homelessness is for our communities and people is really important, and the notion that we are going to lead with a moral framework in trying to solve this problem and end homelessness, I think is really critical to coming up to solutions that will be both immediate and to get people off the streets and into some shelter, but also for the long term, that it takes a long-term commitment and dedication to solving the systematic problems that have resulted in where we are today.
Here's another segment of the speech. I think you're going to hear Gavin Newsom laughing at the beginning of the soundbite, even though he's talking about that Marshall Plan for housing. But the reason he's laughing is because by this time, his 2.5-year-old is up on stage and wandering kind of back and forth from the podium back down to see his mom and siblings in the audience. So here goes.
In our home, no one should live in constant fear of eviction or spend their whole paycheck to keep a roof overhead. We're committed to launching a Marshall Plan for affordable housing, and we'll lift up the fight against homelessness from a local matter to a statewide mission.
Samantha, I asked Kathy how she hears the governor in his messages about kids applying. How do you hear the governor in his messages about homelessness applying to your work?
Yeah, what we know is that we have many children across the state facing issues of poverty, trauma, systemic racism, and it has a profound impact on their lives. In California, we have actually the largest achievement gaps in the country. And recent research, the Getting Down to Facts reports, show that achievement gap is actually there the day a child walks into kindergarten. So in fact, we have school readiness gaps, and there is absolutely work that is research-based and has been shown to be effective in other states and nations that we can implement in California to step up for kids. And so, you know, that focus that the governor has is absolutely the right one.
Let me move on to his references to California values and his experience in working with the LGBT community. Here's what the governor said yesterday.
You know, so 15 years ago when I was a new mayor and I heard politicians in Washington sneering at California values and attacking our LGBTQ community, I remember what my father taught me. It's never the wrong time to do the right thing. And that's what we did. In San Francisco, Phyllis Lyon and Del Martin, two women who had been in love for nearly 50 years, had the courage to stand up and say these two most powerful words, I do.
What did it mean to you, David, and to the people that you work with to hear the governor talk in that way in that moment?
I mean, it gives me hope that he will have the courage of his convictions, because it may have seemed easy for him to step out in front of television cameras and allow people to get married in San Francisco at that moment in time for what he or folks around him might have thought as just some sort of publicity stunt. But the reality is that a 10-year fight then went underway to ensure that that right was given to everyone across the country. And I'm hopeful that the cultural change that's necessary in our state, that's a much greater challenge than just changing the laws, will be something he's up to take up.
He's saying he wants to be bold. To you, where does that mean taking the challenge? What would be bold in the arena of pursuing rights?
I mean, I think that it really comes down to not just changing laws, but helping to support the cultural change and to ensure that the resources are available to address the disparities in society, whether that be in healthcare for transgender folks or in the prison system or in the jail system, where, you know, there were several bills last year that the governor vetoed that would have created a homeless youth emergency housing project here in Sacramento County, where it would have required training for teachers in schools on LGBTQ issues, and would have required both prisons and local jails to provide access for LGBTQ folks who are for transgender folks who are often set off in isolation, to have the same access to programs and services that the general population had. And so if we can take on those things that cost money, and really the reasons that the governor vetoed them weren't necessarily philosophical, but really came down to financial resources. So putting the money behind the philosophy and your beliefs is really, I think, critical.
So we're getting into two interesting areas. One is specifics about what each of your issues are and maybe the budget that's tied to them. The other is this tone of distinction that Governor Jerry Brown was looking at how to manage the state, and perhaps Governor Newsom, in a different way, will be looking more at individuals and their lives and how to manage the people. Kathy, what do you feel that you're getting in terms of any specifics right now? Definitely that tone is different, but he's still got a budget message and a state of the state message. Do you have enough answers at this point?
Well, no, we don't have the specifics. During the campaign, he definitely talked about increasing the amount of funding for low-income housing tax credit program, about for his support for reestablishing some sort of redevelopment tax increment that would provide funding for local governments to really tackle this program. He talked about linking state transportation funds to cities who are actually meeting their housing needs. So he's talked about a lot of things and emphasized the importance of bringing resources to the table to attack this problem. And so, you know, we're going to have to wait and see what the budget actually says, but we're hopeful that the budget will include proposals for new resources, particularly for subsidizing regulated affordable housing, that is both a solution to homelessness, but also will provide relief to those folks who are currently living paycheck to paycheck and who are one missed paycheck away from eviction. So we're hopeful that new resources are going to be brought to bear, and that he's going to use the state's power to both incentivize but potentially also to enforce the existing state laws that too often too many local governments, when it comes to housing, are not implementing.
That's Kathy Creswell. She's board president of the Sacramento Housing Alliance. Before her, you heard David Heitzdemann. He is executive director of the LGBT Community Center in Sacramento. Also in the studio is Samantha Tran, senior managing director for education policy for Children Now. Samantha, I think on the issue of early childhood education, there has been some front messaging and the idea of putting some funding and programs in place. It does raise the question of one-time efforts versus sustainable efforts. Give me your take on what he's already laid out.
Yeah, I really appreciated the statement yesterday that he made of how over the last 8 years we've built a strong foundation in California, and that it's time to build, you know, to build on that foundation, but to be careful, right? To be thoughtful about how we do that. We don't want to extend services and then rip them away when there's an economic downturn. And so, you know, we've been really pleased. Newsom has brought together a really strong team in Ann O'Leary, who's his chief of staff. She has extensive experience in early learning. A number of other folks are joining the administration. And it's clear that they are thinking about this as a transition path, right? So they're absolutely thinking about some one-time resources to build up the capacity and infrastructure for the early learning space specifically. You know, we can use one-time funding to build out facilities. There are some workforce investments that can be one-time, though that should also be ongoing because you always have a workforce that you're going to need to build their capacity. And then we're going to transition to some of these more expansive goals, for example, universal preschool and providing greater access to childcare and home visiting. So I think they are being very thoughtful about how to blend the finances and be bold.
What about specifics, David? What are you getting at? And I do want to raise the issue of healthcare because healthcare has been a focus both in a new law that went into effect this year for foster care, and in other ways, the bigger discussion of access to healthcare for a wide spectrum of people in gender issues.
Sure. And I think this is an area where I haven't heard enough specifics yet about how the LGBTQ community specifically is going to be supported. One of the challenges that we have with this population is that there isn't as much data to support some of the initiatives that we might want to do. And with the upcoming census that is also not going to include questions that identify LGBTQ folks in the population, it's going to take a bold move on the part of the governor to propose things in the budget that are going to dedicate resources to these problems that we know that exists, especially as it relates to access to healthcare. It's one thing to have a right to it. It's another thing to have access to it and to have providers that are culturally competent. So we're really going to have to see that bold dedication of resources toward these things that we know are problems, even if we don't have all the data to specifically identify how big the problem is.
Can you give me an example? Is there a particular target that's on your mind for new legislation that you would hope, or old legislation, I guess, that would move farther than it had before?
Sure. So last year, I mentioned a couple of bills that were vetoed by the governor. One of them was to create a homeless youth emergency services project here in Sacramento County. There are currently only 4 projects in Los Angeles, San Diego, San Francisco, and Santa Clara counties. And as I think everyone in Sacramento is well aware, homelessness is not an issue just for the big city. It's also a huge issue here in Sacramento. And youth homelessness in particular, LGBTQ youth experience homelessness at a significantly higher rate. I mean, 40% of homeless youth identify as LGBTQ. The vast majority of them are people of color. And so these issues are really intersectional from race to class and gender and sexuality and gender orientation. And all of those layers on top of one another require an even greater dedication of resources to lift folks up to a more equitable future.
So I'm going to pick up on what you just said in a couple different ways. David, have you ever met Samantha before, or Kathy, who's on the phone?
You know, I don't think so. We were saying we look familiar to one another, but
we can't place it.
Kathy, have you ever met David or Samantha?
No, I am familiar with David, but no, I have not.
So all three of you are talking today about the overlap of your issues, the clients that you work with, the need for the governor to pay attention. And I think the fact that you haven't met and worked together points out the need for cross-communication at so many different levels.
No, absolutely. I mean, our organization at Children Now, we look at issues from prenatal all the way to college and career. So it means that we're like in 80 different kids coalitions, but those are kids-oriented coalitions, right? So that interconnection with identity issues that children face and how to support them is a direct crossover. Homelessness, housing, you know, broader safety issues. These things are all interconnected. It is, I think, indicative of just how government's set up.
Absolutely. I think that's true. And having worked in the governor's office and worked in the Capitol for 15 years, I understand that the process of government and getting along with everyone inside is can be very slow. Sometimes it goes very fast, but to get what you really want and what you really need and know needs to be accomplished is slow. And so I really hope that Governor Newsom seizes the opportunity at this moment in time to plant that flag in the ground out where we need to be, and then, you know, bring all of us together to figure out what the best possible future looks like for California.
I do think, you know, I also worked in government for a long time and was frustrated and sometimes pleased with different administrations' take on bringing different policy issues together. And but it was clear to me working there that we can't be dependent on administrations to really necessarily be setting that tone, because people live beyond and stay beyond a particular administration. So while I am hopeful that this governor will really be about bringing all of the affected interest groups together and policy forces together, I do think you point out that it is important, especially locally, and then as we work statewide, that we do work with, and we've tried to reach out with transportation as a housing organization. Mm-hmm. We've reached out to transportation advocates, to equity advocates, but I think we haven't done as much reaching out to children's groups. And we've certainly, in a number of contexts, you know, we're supporting Mutual Housing California, is trying to do Lavender Courtyard, a senior LGBT-friendly affordable housing place,
right,
to really give people a place to feel safe and secure. But I think you're right. We on the ground need to take the initiative on our own to try to reach out. And I certainly hope to, after this conversation today, reach out to both of the other people on the on this conversation and maybe begin a conversation about how we can work together and see how we can help each other achieve each other's objectives.
Well, in our final few minutes, I quickly want you to answer one last question, and that is, what are you worried the governor will not do? And Kathy, I'll start with you on that.
I guess I'm a little worried that that the budget won't match the rhetoric of his lofty goals. That to attack this problem of homelessness and affordability, we need funding that will help us get at some of these core issues, that will get people into shelter and on the path to stable housing. That, you know, you can have a lot of good policy goals, and we need those as well. We need the state to enforce affordable housing laws. We need the state to show the leadership. But we are going to really need the resources that will tackle the affordability crisis for low-income people who are one paycheck away from losing their home. So while we are very confident of his goals and his vision, the only thing we'd be concerned about is he going to be able to find the resources, including general fund resources, that match that bold vision for a Marshall Plan for affordable housing.
All right, that's Kathy Creswell, board president of the Sacramento Housing Alliance. David, I'll go to you next. What are you worried he might not do?
You know, every week I get calls from people here in the most progressive state in the country, calling in desperation about some act of violence or discrimination that has occurred against them. And these things are already all illegal. There's something in law that protects them. But unfortunately, sometimes it is still the government agencies that are sworn to protect them that are committing these acts. And so I really hope that there is the sort of forward-looking vision for a cultural change, and that does come down to resources, but it also comes down to what you say and what you do and how you influence others to lead the state in a direction that doesn't just have something that is legal on paper, or illegal on paper, but really embraces the value of LGBTQ lives, embraces the value of immigrants, of Black folks and brown folks and women and people of minority faith communities, because all of those communities intersect with LGBTQ folks, and we really need that forward-looking inclusivity.
That's David Heitzteman. He is executive director of the Sacramento LGBT Community Center. And Samantha, same question to you. What are you worried that this new governor might not do?
Yeah, it goes back to the earlier point about we can't silo kids, and we really need to think across the whole continuum. So as we've said, we're lauding the governor for the focus on those early years. We know that the brain development's happening at a million neuroconnections a second for a young child under the age of three. Those interactions are literally creating the architecture of the brain. It's absolutely the right place to focus. And then those transitions into college are critical as well. Jerry Brown did a great job trying to reorchestrate our K-12 system with a new finance system, a new accountability system, but there's a lot more work to do, and we know that public education is under-resourced. And so how to balance that, given that it's such a big budget item in the larger budget, how are we going to make sure we adequately fund schools and that we don't lose sight of that in the mix is going to be an important piece of the puzzle.
Samantha Tran is Senior Managing Director for Education Policy with Children Now. Thank you to all three of you for this conversation, and I hope those points of connection happen soon for all of you.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kathy.
Appreciate it.
You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio.